Free agency just under a week away, and the Bills are already right in the middle of the NFL world with some safeties expected to join the party. Some starting level safeties, that is. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We have a great episode planned for you guys tonight. As I mentioned, free agency is just around the corner. In fact, even closer, like less than a week. That's like right there. And lots of news coming out. And the Bills, as I mentioned when teasing this episode, they released some several key players, including their starting corner. In fact, their all-pro caliber corner, Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer. They're one of their starting safeties. They won't be bringing back Micah Hyde. They had to redo Von Miller's contract and cut half of his money for this season. And on top of that, they're losing their starting center, Mitch Morse. So lots of stuff coming out for this team. And this was a team that looked like, I mean, they were kind of thin on the defensive side already. They had some cap trouble, and it looks like they have some cap casualties now. But CJ, what are your thoughts?
Well, Adam, I'd like to take you back to over a year ago, 2 years ago, we'll call it.
Yeah.
And we had a co-host who's no longer here on the show with us, who told us that the salary cap did not exist.
Now, I dare
you to take that statement and say that to a Bills fan and see if you leave that room alive. Salary cap is real, kids. Don't get it twisted. But moving this on for Buffalo, now, look, every year, you know, your team's going to have a few cap casualties here and there. They might be starters. They might not be. But like you said, Tre'Davious White, Mitch Morse, Jordan Poyer. Oh, that's bad. And not to mention, if I recall correctly, Micah Hyde, their other safety, is a free agent.
He's a free agent, and they're obviously not going to be able to sign him back because they couldn't even keep the guys who they have under contract.
Yeah, that's right. And also your wide receiver two, Gabe Davis, is also a free agent. So it's just not looking good. And I know you're trying to get under the cap, but now, consider the guys you just released, the talent level that was just cut. Do you really think, while still operating under the salary cap, you can rebuild that? The answer is no. No, you can't. And we have said before that maybe their Super Bowl window might be closing. I'm not saying it's totally shut, but it just dropped. You know, like it's open a crack, but because, I mean, if you have Josh Allen, you're probably going to be competitive. But with his playoff struggles and the fact that your team has gotten that much worse, and the fact that you are, to put it nicely, extremely unlikely to find that level of talent with the franchise, with the salary cap space you do have, I don't know. That's a nice thing I can say about Buffalo, is just, I don't know.
Yeah. The way I see it with the Bills, I mean, they could easily get back to contention, because as long as, in the same way that we say this for every single elite quarterback that has ever existed, as long as they have Josh Allen, they have a chance. And I still believe that, especially since they still have his favorite toy in Stephon Diggs for now. That being said, those two players, both combined, take up nearly $75 million of cap space. And people could easily say, well, they could just take a pay cut. They could take a restructure. Well, they have to consent to that first. The Bills can't just cut a bunch of his salary. That has to be a mutual decision. So the fact that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have both said no, they may not have asked, But if they did and they said no, do you really think they're going to approve? If they really want to win that badly or hate losing, because everybody wants to win, are they really, how bothered would you, do you think they would be that Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer are now gone? I understand Tre'Davious White had some injury problems, but that doesn't mean get rid of him. And he was your best corner, one of the better ones in the league whenever he was playing and fully healthy. So that's something to consider. I mean, how do you think Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady would respond to seeing the best players on the other side of the ball being cut? They would be pretty sour about this. And I don't know how Josh Allen feels right now, but if he was unwilling to take a pay cut, if both of those players, Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, were unwilling to take a pay cut in order to keep the best players possible on the other side of the ball on the roster, then that's not a good look on their part. Now, I'm not trying to get them in trouble for something they haven't done. We don't know anything about Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs on this side. But if they were approached asking for a pay cut and they said no, that's not good.
Yeah. And granted, we're dabbling in hypotheticals, but it would be irresponsible to rule out that they declined taking a pay cut. And let's just say they do. They were asked to take a pay cut and they declined. Then the state of the roster is your fault. Because you can't just say, I want to keep raking in money. Because, you know, football, as we all know, operates on a salary cap. Right? You know, there's only so much to go around. It's not like baseball or hockey or basketball where you can just throw endless amounts of money at everything that moves. So if you're eating up so much of it and then you refuse to take a pay cut, I mean, granted, it's your choice. In my opinion, you would then waive the right to complain about the state of the roster. And but then again, we don't know this for sure. But for Buffalo, I just don't see them replacing these guys. And Buffalo, to me, seems like they're in the middle of an identity shift. Won't say an identity crisis, but an identity shift. Because Buffalo was known for defense, right? Yep. Even when Josh Allen was first starting out, and I mean, not even when he was first starting out, when he first started getting good, like around his third year, they were considered a scary defensive team, right? But now their defense is average, and come the next season, maybe below average.
Well, I can also tell you this, because I looked at these stats this morning. As far as points per game allowed go, the Buffalo Bills were top five in five out of the last 6 years. And the one that they were outside the top five was 2020, which is weird because this season it seemed like the Bills defense was, it was pretty bad, right?
Yeah. Now,
those stats can still be misleading. Maybe it was the opponents that they played before the season. I mean, it's not all about points per game allowed. Sometimes it's about making the stops when you need to make the stops. There are going to be some games where it's just a defensive rock fight, and that's just the nature of the game, or the weather takes over. But still, five out of 6 years is no sample size. So you really can't blame it on the defense. But looking at it now, like, I mean, look at it feels like a lot of these quarterbacks who have taken large money, how much have they really been able to fortify the GMs who gave these contracts, been able to fortify their rosters around them? I mean, the Chiefs have done a great job at drafting defense, but have you noticed they haven't been able to replace Tyreek Hill, like, at all? I know they've still won championships during that span, but they have their alternatives have been Juju Smith-Schuster, who worked out for them, and Rashee Rice, and Kadarius Toney, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Again, it's worked out because they have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But look at the Bills here. Massive contract. How much have they been able to fortify it? Who have they been able to add alongside Stephon Diggs? Who have they been able to add on in their running game that they've so desperately needed to improve? James Cook has been okay, but he's not that good of a back. I mean, what do you, where are we going to, this is a bit of a problem here.
Yeah.
Look at all of them. It just, yep. You can clearly see how there's a bit of a theme here where these quarterbacks are getting paid big money. And once they're paid, they can't pay anybody else. And the team slowly deteriorates around them. The Chiefs have survived it so far. But how much longer? And they have an aging Travis Kelce. Their head coach, who is, God willing, been holding things up around the entire team. But the Bills haven't figured it out. The Packers, when they had Aaron Rodgers, they always had that one elite pass catcher and couldn't get anybody else. And for the longest time, they weren't able to find anyone on defense or pay them. They had to do it through the draft for the longest time. It's just something to consider. I mean, like, we're looking at all of these pay cuts. Oh, no, all these players are going. Now they're not going to make the playoffs. But have we ever thought of why that happened?
Yeah. And just a quick note before we move on, what you said about coaching. I think it's time for us to stop pretending that Sean McDermott is a top 10 head coach. I mean, the city of Buffalo will swear up and down he is, but literally everywhere else says no. And I have said this many times. When he goes up against a team that is evenly matched with Buffalo, 9 out of 10 times, he gets out-coached. He got out-coached in the playoffs. He got out-coached in the first half of the regular season. They went on a fluke Cinderella run, and then Kansas City brought them back down to reality. And it's just getting to the point where, yeah, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, it's a great quarterback coach duo. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, once again, great quarterback coach duo. Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, you know, need I say more? But then Josh Allen, great quarterback, but Sean McDermott, can Sean McDermott figure out a way to scheme their, you know, just to plan their way to a Super Bowl, to scheme their way to a Super Bowl, to try out new coverages, maximize everyone's talents, right? No, I don't think he can. And I would not be nearly as worried for Buffalo if they just had a better coach.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Adam, this might be a little controversial, but I'll end the segment with this. Regardless of if they're in cap hell or not, regardless of who they cut or not, it's slim chance, but if Buffalo misses the playoffs next year, I do believe Sean McDermott should and will be fired.
He's going to be fired.
Yeah, because I don't care if they even won a playoff game. I think his seat's getting warm.
There's that. I mean, people are already – they already want Sean McDermott fired.
Yeah.
And they're not ousting the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback's still an elite quarterback. And they just gave him a ton of money. He's one of the – as much as we like to get on Josh Allen, he's one of the bright spots of that team.
Yeah.
Year in, year out. He may be a turnover machine, but no quarterback's perfect. Everyone has their problems. But him and Stephon Diggs have been their bright spots. All right. We're going to move on and discuss a lot of the safeties who have been released and where they may fit on new potential rosters. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So here is an ongoing theme for the last couple of weeks. Justin Simmons, Jordan Poyer, Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs, Kevin Byard. What do they have in common? They are all safeties who have been pretty much, for the most part, high-end safeties at one point in their career or another. I only say one point or another because Jamal Adams has not been always the best safety in the past few years. But the fact that he was released is still noteworthy. They've all been released within the last couple weeks.
Mm.
And they're some of the best in the league. CJ, just give me your general thoughts on this.
I believe I've said this before, but I think safety is starting to become the running back of defensive positions. Because an elite edge rusher, oh yeah, you know, you need those to get after the quarterback. An elite corner who can erase one half of the field, oh, those are at a premium. An elite linebacker, maybe not as much, but hey, those, you know, like the Roquan Smiths and Fred Warners of the world are game changers. But safety? Look, I like the safety. I do. It's a really nice position. You know, I have some greats that have, you know, manned the helm, but but as the game evolves past the running back, maybe you don't need a truly elite safety to like actually like go and win you the game. I'm just saying. Like, I don't think that it's truly just imperative for the game. That's probably why we'll see it, you know, because some of these guys like Poyer, Simmons, and I believe Bayard are all on the wrong side of 30. And you know how the NFL looks at players, you know, once they hit that magical number. So that's basically what I think. A lot of these guys, like I said, are over 30, and also safety might just not be as important as it used to be. And that sucks, but ask the running backs on the other side of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, safety, it seems like it is becoming that, because the corner is definitely like, of course, safety is an important position, just as the tackle position is important, as just as important as a guard. But finding a premier safety may not be as hard as it is to find a premier corner, right?
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, there's a big difference in the pay for some of these positions. It's harder to find them at corner, so therefore the money is going to be more important.
Hey, Adam, I need to take care of something. I'll be right back.
Sure thing. So therefore the money is going to be more important. So looking at the safety position, Justin Simmons, Jordan Poyer, Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs, Kevin Bayard, these are all guys who are still, of course, they're great at their positions, but how big of a difference do they make on this defense? Of course, it's important. They play a big part, but do you need the most elite of elite at that position at the time, right? So they'll definitely find some new homes. But it may be a while before they find that spot. It's not as big of a positional need as it usually is. So Justin Simmons, he's going to find a new home. I mean, he's been looked at as one of the better safeties in the league, but during that span that he has been in the league from 2016 when he was drafted to now, the Broncos haven't made the playoffs. They've had some decent defenses during that time, but is Justin Simmons going to be the reason why you're winning Super Bowls? No,
probably not.
And I'll also go to some more recency here. Justin Reed, is he one of the best corners, best safeties in the game?
Justin who?
Justin Reed. Justin Reed.
Oh, Justin Reed. Like, yeah.
This may actually your puzzlement from Justin Reed may actually support my point. But Justin Reed, Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs. Sorry. I just had to deal with something like going on back there. Chiefs safety. No. He's good, but I wouldn't call him the X factor of that defense.
Also, Eddie Jackson's a free agent too. I forgot about him.
He'll be Fine.
Eddie Jackson was released as well. yeah. Micah Hyde's a free agent. Jordan Whitehead's a free agent. This is bad, man. Jalen Mills, Darnell Savage. Whew, this is a stacked safety class. Yeah. But looking at Justin Reed, he's still a really good safety. He was an important part of that Chiefs defense. But was that secondary elite because of Justin Reed, or was it elite because of Trent McDuffie and Lajarius Sneed?
Well, I feel like you know the answer to that.
Exactly. I mean, those two corners were actually some of the best cover corners in all of football. I mean, the way Trent McDuffie turned everything around after year one is unbelievable. They have arguably the best secondary in all of football, and it's not because of Justin Reed. He's still a really good corner. He's still a really good safety, but it's going to be because of Lajarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. They have the elite player at the place where you need the elite player at. And they had serviceable to very good play at the safety position. And that's what made that defense elite. In fact, Justin Reed is an afterthought in that defense. Looking at the Bills, they had just an okay defense this year, but they had one of the best safety duos in the league, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, and they didn't have that good of a defense. The Chiefs, on the other hand, had one of the best defenses in the league. They were just okay at safety, but they had one of the best corner duos in McDuffie and Sneed. So what does that tell you about the importance of the position? And it sucks because they're really good at what they do, and I believe that they want to be paid. I think they deserve to be paid the best in that position, but it's not going to be the same as other positions, kind of like the running back position. They do great. They work their asses off, but the wide receiver is the bigger need. The quarterback's the bigger need between the guard position and the tackle position. They both sides play their asses off, but one's more important than the other. All positions aren't created equal, unfortunately, when it comes to football. So that is something to consider. All right. So we're going to move on and go on to our next segment, which is we're going to preview free agency here and talk about what we believe would be our best player to team free agency pairings. We're going to talk about what signings that we would like to see next week. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So going over, I want to start with some offensive players first. And I know they want to use Kirk Cousins for Atlanta. And I think it makes a lot of sense. But throw your recency bias away for Russell Wilson just for a second. How long has it been since he had an elite running back to work with on RPOs?
Yeah, I don't know. Not for Wilson, not in many, many years. Not since beast mode.
So the Falcons, who have a pretty good offensive line, one of the better ones in the league, and one of the best young running backs in the league, and Russell Wilson, who is shown to be exceptional in the RPO game, I think that's a really good fit. I think that's an underrated fit that no one is talking about.
Yeah, I happen to think that Russell Wilson and the Falcons would be great for them, you know, especially since they have a good young team and they would need a veteran, especially since I don't know how much money Wilson would want, you know, considering the fact that Denver's still paying him a boatload of cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my two cents. I think he hit the nail right on the head, personally.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a possibility. I don't bite my head off if you don't like Russell Wilson. Just throw away your recency bias just for a second. I get it. He didn't have a good tenure in Denver. But can we just... Do we have to forget what happened in Seattle? Do we have to? I mean, in the right system, maybe he has a career renaissance. Maybe he just needs a change of scenery and a better offensive system that may fit his game. Good pass catchers around him as well. Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Those are two pretty good players for him to throw to. And I think their defense is okay. I know it didn't perform very well, but I think a lot of that is a coaching thing. So yeah. That's just something to consider. But do you have any – what do you have?
For Wilson or just in general?
Just give me a free agency pairing.
So as I think, you know, just across all the free agents that we all know and may or may not love, I think of Saquon Barkley. Now – he's looking at the Giants and saying, I'm free. He's a running back, and he will do his fair share of running, getting away from that Giants organization. And I happen to believe that he stays in the NFC East, and I'm seeing a lot of rumors about him going to Philly. And honestly, why not? One, it would be a perfect way to stick it to the Giants. And two, both of Philly's running backs in DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny were both on one-year deals, and they're both free agents. I know what you're thinking. Oh, but Philly, weren't they looking really good and then completely fell apart? At which I say yes. Do you know why? Because their strength was running the ball. And when you move away from your strength, chances are you will not win. And that's what I think they need in Saquon. It's a return to your roots. You know what I mean? You can return to what you're good at in running the football. You know, you have Jalen Hurts and Saquon. Saquon, that backfield alone is going to force the defense to be honest. You know, the defense just can't sit back and blanket the field. And when you have the defense that's worried about either Jalen Hurts on a keeper or Saquon gashing him for 20, you can let A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith cook, and also Dallas Goedert.
I think that's a good spot. Let me give you one for another free agent running back. He's about to turn 30. In fact, I believe he already did. Derrick Henry is still playing at a high level. And if the Cowboys could find some help on their offensive line, because they've lost a couple of pieces, let's say they bring in Derrick Henry. They've been missing that short game back ever since they went away from Ezekiel Elliott, who is not the same player anymore. But Derrick Henry, he may not be the same player either, but I think he is less further along in his decline than Elliott is. Elliott looks like he barely has anything left. He might be a committee back, and that'll be it, because it looks like Elliott can play in short yard situations. Derrick Henry may be the best running back you could have in short yardage plays. And that's what they were lacking. They were looking for that back who can just plow through the middle and get those short yard, get those third and shorts and into the end zone and goal line situations. And if the reports are true that Tony Pollard wants to stay under a discount, they could bring him back and have Derrick Henry. Now, financially, we'll see how that goes. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if they can make that work, I think that makes for the most balanced on offense, the most balanced Cowboys team that we have seen in recent memory. How they execute it in the postseason is a completely different thing. And that's just, we have to mention the postseason whenever we bring up the Cowboys in any sort of positivity, because it's just part of it. It's about as predictable as it gets at this point. And with Mike McCarthy still on the team as their head coach, I don't think I don't have much faith that that's going to change. But on the roster, they can make some, make whatever changes that they can in order to make that less of a possibility. So I think Derrick Henry to the Cowboys makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I do happen to believe that Derrick Henry to Dallas is going to be definitely something to watch out for, we'll call it. But then I look at some of the other free agents that are still around, and I think of an elite edge rusher, Danielle Hunter. Now, everybody and their mother knows it's more likely than not that he's not going to win anything if he stays in Minnesota. He has escaped the dreaded franchise tag. And now, well, he's got free reign to go wherever he pleases. And, I think about all the available spots for him, right? Like a place that he could wind up. And I got to tell you, Hunter is a player that I really, really wouldn't hate in San Francisco. Now, I know what you're thinking, but they have Nick Bosa and Chase Young. Counterpoint, Chase Young is he's all right, but he's not great, and he's also a free agent. And when I see Hunter and I see Bosa, I don't know how much cap space San Fran has to work with, but that would get you back to the Super Bowl. Because if you're San Fran right now, the best thing you can do is try to fend off the dreaded Super Bowl hangover. It's very real. You need to take some major steps to prevent it. And losing Chase Young is going to sting. But if you can upgrade into Danielle Hunter to pair alongside Nick Bosa, that's going to be nasty. Because imagine that already scary pass rush taken to the next level. Because I don't think many people argue that Chase Young is better than Danielle Hunter. And if you do, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. That one's solid. I like it. Mm-hmm. Looking at it, I think when it comes to L'Jarius Sneed, I know he's not a free agent, but because he was tagged, but let's say that he doesn't want to be a Kansas City Chief anymore. And he says, trade me and I'll sign long-term to whatever team that I get traded to, because chances are whatever team trades for L'Jarius Sneed, they're going to need his services like badly. I know the 49ers just faced the Chiefs, but if they were to trade for Sneed after they just had that defensive letdown in the Super Bowl, granted against one of the best quarterbacks of all time, I think that's a fit for them. I also think, here's another one, the Eagles. You brought them up for offense with Saquon Barkley. I think if they brought in L'Jarius Sneed,
their defensive backfield got ravaged.
Right, and like Darius Slay is still good. He's good. We'll see how long it lasts because he's getting older. I believe he's what, 32?
I believe he is. Yeah,
somewhere around there. Yeah. I want to go back to the offensive side one more time.
I also have one when you're done.
Okay. Tyron Smith. I think he should be a Patriot.
Oh, that's not where I was going to go.
I think Tyron Smith should be a New England Patriot. I know they just brought back. They brought in Okorafor, but they need more than just that. If that's all they do for their offensive line and they just bring in Mike Onwenu and then just have Okorafor and those are their bookends, that's not good. Not good enough. They need Tyron Smith. I think they should bring him in and then bring in Mike Onwenu have him be their other tackle, and then have Okorafor be maybe a versatile piece, or have him be a backup. Because let's face it, offensive line injuries happen, and I think it's a luxury to have an extra one sitting there, especially when that guy that you have who would be your extra guy, he's not an expensive option. He's being paid $4 million for one season.
Yeah.
That's nothing. So that is encouraging when I look at the Patriots, especially since they're probably going to take someone at number 3 overall in the draft as a quarterback. They're going to take a quarterback. You don't want to put him in the same spot that Mac Jones was in, where he's getting killed. He starts seeing ghosts, ruins his confidence, and then next thing you know, 3 years later, they have to hit the reset button yet again and draft another first-round quarterback. We don't want that. We would like for this guy, whether it be Jaden Daniels, whether it be Drake May, to actually work out. So I think if you did something like that, bring in some offensive line help, I think that would help them out a lot. Yeah. Did you have another one?
So yeah, I had one. It's also for Tyron Smith. This one is, I wouldn't hate him in Baltimore. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, but left tackle Ronnie Stanley. That's true. Left tackle Ronnie Stanley. You have a good point. Counterpoint, when was the last time he was healthy? Yeah. And if Tuck were here, he would say never, and then would go on a rant. But it's all right, because we like Tuck. And for me, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what Baltimore needs, but maybe if your O-line was a little better, you wouldn't be going through running backs like Andy Reid goes through cheeseburgers. All right. That's just kind of how it is. And it will keep and Tyron Smith on the left, and then maybe you kick Ronnie Stanley right. That will keep Lamar upright. It'll keep your running backs healthy, and maybe you can get back to the AFC Championship game and perhaps the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I think you said this before the season, right after that AFC Championship, about the quarterback himself. Narratives were not formed. They were confirmed. Mm. I don't know if the offensive line helps that.
Well, maybe narratives can be confirmed even more. I mean, I'm just saying, but so here's a question. Were narratives confirmed? Perhaps so. But I have a question. Do you just lay down and curl up into a ball and just say, well, the narratives won, why do I try? Or do you actually want to go help? I mean, look, I get the whole narratives thing. I do. But if you're just going to say, well, all right, fine. Yeah, narratives are formed. See y'all later. I'm just going to go cry. I don't think that really helps anyone. So, I mean, I'm just saying fighting narratives might be a little more productive.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying I don't know if that'll help enough, which I don't know. It kind of stinks because Lamar Jackson is an unbelievable regular season quarterback. But the fact that him, just like so many other elite quarterbacks in today's day and age, are shelves of them for the former regular season selves once the postseason rolls along, makes the postseason a lot less enjoyable.
You know? I reckon so.
Like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert doesn't even get there. I don't know. Well, let's stay on topic. But looking at other pairings, I think Josh Jacobs to the Texans is one that makes a lot of sense. And I say Josh Jacobs because you already said Saquon. So I'm mixing it up a little bit. Josh Jacobs has become a much more versatile back since entering the league. When he first entered the league, he was not much of a pass catcher. Now he can do it. He's getting a lot better as his career goes on. And if the Texans are looking to get over the hump and go win a Super Bowl, which they're getting closer, I think to have a more multidimensional offense will help that. And I, this is one spot where I would mention a wide receiver that would work out there, since right now their options are Tank Dell, Nico Collins. Noah Brown's a free agent, so they need someone else. Dalton Schultz is gone. They might need another pass catcher, but they don't. There's really not much available there. On the offensive side of the ball for the Texans, I would have, I guess you could bring up Marquise Brown.
Yeah, you know, Hollywood Brown is, in my humble opinion, a good fit, because obviously you don't want him to be your number one, where I think you already have a number one in Tank Dell. I think you keep developing him and he can be a top 10 receiver. But Brown, I think, is like, he's your home run hitter. You know what I mean? He's like the guy who's just speed. Throw the ball out to him, he's going to like run past everyone and go for six. That's basically what I think you can do. It depends on how much he wants, but Brown added with Collins and Dell will be scary.
It will. And just for reference for the tight end market, now that Hunter Henry's off, Logan Thomas, Will Disley, CJ Uzama, Gerald Everett, Mike Gesicki, Noah Fant, Austin Hooper, Robert Tonyan Jr. It's become bare over there, that free agent market.
I mean, Harrison Bryant, maybe Irv Smith, Adam Troutman, perhaps. I don't know. That's pretty much it. Because Dalton Schultz and Hunter Henry, I think, were like the undisputed like top of the market tight ends. But both of them signed 3-year extensions to stay with Houston and New England, respectively. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So actually, wait a second. He was just extended. What am I thinking? Dalton Schultz was extended.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so I'm an idiot. I don't know why I thought I heard. I remember three year deal. But yeah, they still, I think they need a little bit more at the wide receiver position. I don't know what Tank Dell is, but I don't know. Yeah, but forget anything that I said about the tight end position. Because they just re-signed Dalton Schultz. All right. You have any others?
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, the cornerback market is looking great. The safety market is awesome. The wide receiver market dried up. So there's a lot of there in the quarterback market for teams that are looking for bridge quarterbacks or just a quarterback to start for the next few years. It actually looks pretty good. Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield. You can even bring in, you can mention Gardner Minshew, Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson, obviously. So that looks pretty good. The running back market is stacked. So this should be a fun free agency, and I'm excited to see where these players land. A lot of teams with a lot of needs. I think this is going to be interesting. We're going to see a lot of narratives form. We're going to see a lot of teams who are looking to get over the hump, who get new players that might just do it for them. But we'll see how it goes. This is going to be a fun offseason. All right. Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays and Fridays, Tuesdays being at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Fridays being at 5. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcast and latest coverage on the NFL, as well as our TikTok at FumbleRooskiPod. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.